You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
But what have I done to deserve being saddled with these juveniles?
You're the only one that's questionable, Scrooge.
Lucky me.
Lucky us.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon. This is our fourth episode, but it's our first episode of Classic DuckTales. We're going to talk about Don't Give Up the Ship, which is part one of Treasure of the Golden Suns, the original DuckTales series premiere. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
Because we have a break between the next new episode of the new DuckTales show, we're going to kind of take a step back. Mm-hmm. And talk about the very first episodes of DuckTales, which is a five-part series premiere. It all aired as a two-hour special on September 18th, 1987. But before we get into that, we have a little bit of news. Mike, do you want to share the news with us?
Sure, yeah. So I guess this is some news about the DuckTales series premiere, the official series premiere of the proper episodes beginning to air on Disney XD on September 23rd. You don't have to clear your schedule for a specific time. Basically, anytime that day, yeah, you're going to basically be able to catch this. So the premiere is going to be September 23rd at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., 5 p.m., 8 p.m., and 10:30 p.m. Now, one thing to note when you're looking at times for Disney XD is that although, you know, you can get it on the East Coast and West Coast, the premiere times are often set by, or the schedule times are set by the East Coast time. So just kind of keep that in mind when you're looking at it. So adjust by 3 hours depending on where you are. And it's always a good idea to go to the Disney XD website, look at their schedule, and often, like, I'm the Canadian site, at least, I don't know, because we can't view the American site here, at least not in detail, so you can switch between East Coast and West Coast so that you can make sure that you're watching at the right time. The other thing that I'll say is that Spider-Man, the new Marvel Spider-Man, was supposed to premiere at a specific time, and it actually started about 10 minutes earlier than it was supposed to. So oftentimes, if you're going to set your PVR, if you have the ability to set it ahead of schedule and afterwards, it's usually a good idea. Sometimes it's a good idea to try and set it in that time range. I have to do that with Star Wars Rebels occasionally as well. So,
but if your PVR messes up or whatever, you accidentally sleep in and you miss mm-hmm. it, you don't have to worry because the episodes will also be available on the Disney XD app and Disney XD video on demand that very same day.
Yeah, which is handy for those of our listeners in America. Elsewhere, yeah, it's a little bit more tough.
I'm kind of happy that this premiere is so early on Saturday morning. It actually is a brand new Saturday mm-hmm. morning cartoon, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
You don't often get that anymore.
The ability to get up on a Saturday morning and eat some cereal and watch some cartoons.
¶¶
Well, why don't we move right into our talk about our episode here? This is, again, this is Don't Give Up the Ship, part one of Treasure of the Golden Suns. And we have an episode description. Mike, you want to read that for us?
Sure. Scrooge McDuck is forced to take in his three nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, when their Uncle Donald enlists in the Navy. As they learn to get along, the mysterious El Capitan hires the Beagle Boys to steal a small wooden ship from Scrooge's museum, saying that it is a map to a real treasure ship.
So as I stated before, the air date is September 18th, 1987. This one is directed by Alan Zaslav and written by Jim Magan, Bruce Talkington, and Mark Zaslav. I like pointing out the directors and writers, and it's something I forgot to do for the new series premiere, but I'll try and remember to do that moving forward. Because it's always nice to know. I feel like you can find some trends in just if the way the episodes work, if you know who's kind of the creative forces behind them.
Totally. So, totally. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, so it's when you read the description, the first half of it sounds an awful lot like the first episode of the new DuckTales.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities here, and I think this is the origin story again. The glaring difference here is that Donald is not joining the Navy in the new one. He is, I guess joining Glomkult, but yeah. it's only a babysitting job that Scrooge has in the new show. Whereas this one, it's like he's shipping off the nephews to Scrooge for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, slight difference there.
Yeah. It's so interesting watching this show after having just watched the other show, because like I stated before, there's in a previous episode, there's much more of an emphasis on humor in the new show. So those standout moments that we've been picking have been the memorable parts, which are the funny parts. This one doesn't have quite as many funny parts, like the laugh out loud kind of funny parts. But mm-hmm. one that I did find funny were the boom boom bonbons,
yes.
that the Beagle Boys get in their jail cell. It's the first of many different dessert related escape methods that the Beagle Boys will have throughout this series.
Yeah.
But it's really great. And the one part especially is when Burger eats one of these cupcakes, not knowing that it's an explosive, and his head does this really outrageous, wild explosion kind of take. It's just a great bit of animation there. Really enjoyed that part.
Yeah, totally. That's a great moment. Yeah, my one of my favorite parts, if not my absolute favorite part of this episode, would be the sequence with Scrooge at the beginning, where he's where we're learning that Scrooge is a penny pincher, and there's all these great little moments in that, and the one that sticks out the most to me is when he hails the taxi, and then he turns and he sees a payphone, and he fishes a coin out of the payphone slot, and yeah. It's just these little moments, and it's even more impressive when we go back and we watch the old stuff, because with the newer stuff, animation is so streamlined these days that it's great when you get those little moments, those little character moments like that. But with traditional animation like this, there's something even more kind of magic about that sort of a thing. And it's the sort of thing that Disney Afternoon loses a little bit as the other shows progress. Like you get into Gargoyles and then even, you know, the Quack Pack and Marsupilami and Bonkers and that sort of thing. And you lose that stuff. It becomes much more sort of like factory cartoons, like pump them out as fast as you can. But it's just so great. It really is sort of a bit of a lost art, because there's not that much being done these days in traditional animation, mm-hmm. other than usually by animation students.
Well, and you think about the time frame of this. This is 1987, yeah. And the other shows that are popular at this time are like He-Man. And in the 80s, it was a pretty low point in television animation, and things only really moved in. People only animated characters and such if they absolutely needed to be animated.
Yeah.
If you were in a crowd, only one person would be moving, and maybe it was just their head or a hand for some sort of action. But everybody else would be static.
Yeah.
So to put in purposeful movement in a scene like when Scrooge goes for that coin in the phone slot, it does take actual time and effort and money to do that, and that's what made DuckTales stand out. It was one of the first shows that Disney really said, we are going to put everything we can into TV animation because we don't want it to look like, you know, like He-Man, for instance.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I just love that whole beginning where he's kind of going from scenario to scenario, just showing you how cheap he is. And
yeah, so I chose this opening sequence as part of my top three as well. Mm-hmm. The standout moment for me through this is when this is the very first thing he says, basically, and as he's walking down the street, someone says, "Money for the poor," and he says, "They're not worth it." Like, wow, this is a mean Uncle Scrooge.
Yeah.
And this is what he's like in the comics as well, especially when he first appears. He is just downright stingy and mean, and he takes his name from, or he the name Scrooge comes from Ebenezer Scrooge, and if you've seen any version of Christmas Carol, you know what kind of a dirtbag Ebenezer Scrooge is as yes. well. And Scrooge, Uncle Scrooge, Scrooge McDuck, is very much in that same vein, as we can tell from that one line there. And it's not until the nephews come and he starts to realize that there are people that he cares about that he softens up.
Yeah.
The difference here is when we look at Scrooge in the new show, the nephews serve a different purpose. Scrooge isn't the nasty money-grubbing guy in the new show. He's lost his sense of adventure, and the nephews are there to bring that back. There's less of an emphasis on the importance of his money, I guess.
Yeah, the money is more of a byproduct in the new show, just of sort of like his adventurous spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, like as we move through classic DuckTales, I think we'll find like that is where it started, right? His need for adventure is what started his fortune. But at some point he kind of lost that and the money became more important. As a matter of fact, I mean, like, we will eventually get to that story and we'll learn why money became so important to him. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's what this is one of the biggest differences, I think, between this series and the new series. They both have great stories that they're developing right at the outset in the first episode. But there's a like you say, the comedy emphasis is so much more on the new 2017 series, and the classic series kind of almost has this seriousness to it in a lot of the story, and it's almost at times a little like maudlin, you know. The nephews in particular, when we first meet them, they're immediately mopey, and I remember like it sort of, because I haven't really watched any DuckTales in a long time other than a clip here and there, and the second that Huey starts talking, I was just like transported back to every time that they whine, "Oh, Uncle Scrooge," and it's like it's the whole series is them kind of in that really kind of almost obnoxious whiny baby voice, you know, sort of maligning that they don't get to do something, or they can't have something, or they need to be careful or whatever. And it's sort of that I'm kind of happy that that's not part of the new series. I don't think that you'd be able to do it these days, but there is definitely they're much more innocent, they're much more like childish in this version.
A little bit more wholesome and
Well,
I mean, I think that we are supposed to be, like, the viewer is supposed to experience DuckTales, I think, through the nephews.
Mm-hmm.
This old show, at least. I don't know about the new one yet, but They're kind of the everyman character.
So my next favorite part was the boys' room. When they get to Scrooge's mansion, they're basically penned up in their room in the attic. And they again, like, they whine about it. They're like, "Oh, this is terrible." And I'm looking around at it and I'm like, you guys are in like a tower in a mansion, and like, you've got this great view. Like, they show the view out the window and you can see like everything. Like, you can see all of Duckburg, all the, like, the money bin and everything. And I feel like it's like, what are you guys complaining about? Because it looks pretty incredible to me. And I mean, other than the cots that they have to sleep on, other than that, it looked pretty good. They kind of had like airplanes hanging from an airplane hanging from the ceiling, a couple of things sort of scattered around.
I think it's implied though that they are trapped in there, sort of.
Yeah,
like
that
prisoners.
They've been kind of locked in there. Yeah,
and
for sure.
We know that they are very much outdoorsy people, They probably don't like being cooped up in the room. And Duxworth isn't allowing them out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my final final moment from this episode that I'm going to say here is the giant candy store fight at the end. It's I don't know. I've never really been inside a candy factory before, but if they are like that with these huge, huge vats full of different types of candy, then it would be pretty awesome. I think that would be a pretty great place to visit.
Yeah. The candy store or the candy factory or whatever, that's kind of one of my favorite parts as well. If only because the like I said, it's got a little bit more of a serious tone, but then that seriousness is totally thrown out the window when it comes time to defeat the Beagle Boys, because their brilliant plan is to hand them the ship so that Scrooge can get Huey back. And then I love it. He's like, it. Don't worry about the ship. It's fine. Just walk faster. it's such a good moment. And then they're like, we've won. We got the ship. And Scrooge kind of appears above them suddenly, and like they didn't notice. And yells to the boys to throw the switch, and they do. And this giant vat. Then when I say giant, like, this is a giant vat of molten liquid chocolate just dumps out on them. And at no point does anybody consider the fact that they would be horribly, horribly burned by that just boiling hot chocolate, because you got to get chocolate pretty hot in order for it to become liquid. You'll burn your tongue if you try and eat that chocolate. So I can't imagine it feels too good, you know, on your skin, even if you are a cartoon character. But it's funny because it's just this tidal wave of chocolate, and then the Beagle Boys get frozen in it. And then I love, again, this is just another one of those little animation moments where they go to retrieve the ship out of the chocolate. They pop it out, like Scrooge pulls it out, and it's this like perfectly drawn indentation of the ship in the chocolate. And it's like, for a second you're like, oh, is that going to be like part of the secret, right? Like, oh, they're going to see this indentation and they're going to have, like, it's going to be a secret about the treasure. And they don't, like, they just kind of walk away from it. It was just there as like a, well, the ship was in the chocolate. He pulled it out of the chocolate, so obviously it would leave this perfect relief impression in the chocolate. And like, it could have just been a ship, a pirate ship, or a ship shaped hole, right? Like, just sort of that general vague shape of it. But instead, it's this super detailed, like, down to everything. It's got like the cannons and everything. Like, it's just such a great little thing that really makes this series stand out. Like you said, 1987. what people...
It's all in the details.
Yeah, that's what people refer to as the Disney magic, right? That's exactly what it is. It's that moment of, like, it's a total throwaway. If you're not really paying attention, you'll miss it. But if you're paying attention, you just kind of catch these cool little things.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great moment for how kind of zany and off the wall it got. And then right back into the story sort of thing.
Okay, we can move on to behind the scenes stuff and some Easter eggs and references and such. Like you had just mentioned, back in 1987, cartoons were just cartoons, and they didn't have the whole fandom sort of mentality that's behind it. So you don't get all of these Easter eggs and references like you do in the new show, that's for sure. They're not making them for the parents of the kids who grew up with this stuff and that kind of thing. But we do have Scrooge's classic line, "Tougher than the Toughies," that he says here in this episode, which again, like we said in the other episode, is taken straight from the comics.
Yep.
Just some behind the scenes stuff. A lot of people think that these shows were animated in-house by Disney, but they just produced the shows and they farmed out the animation to other studios. And TMS Entertainment is the one who did this particular episode, and they do a lot of shows through the 90s. They're one of the better animation companies come out of Japan. And this show was made for syndication, which is a different model than Disney usually dealt with at the time, or most studios. Most studios will have a deal with a network, and the network will pay for them to produce a show for their network. But in this instance, Disney produced the show by themselves, 65 episodes for syndication, which means that it can be shown to any network that they have a deal with.
Yeah.
And so that meant that they could spend more time on the show before it actually premiered, and take the time to make it good. And it really shows off here. It's quite good. There's also a Jim Cummings, our favorite Jim Cummings, does a voice in this episode. It's he is El Capitan, the old man in the trench coat. So we'll see a lot of Jim Cummings coming up. And Frank Welker, who is also well known in the animation world, he is the voice of Big Time Beagle. So there's a couple of reoccurring voice actors that'll show up again and again throughout this
series.
Awesome,
yeah. I think that what has to happen on this podcast is that every time Jim Cummings is in an episode of something that we're talking about, we have to be sure that everybody knows.
So
that's Jim Cummings.
Jim Cummings character count number one.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds fine to me.
Cool. Awesome. So we've got some. We've got a kid review, right?
Yeah, Milo was a little mic shy this time, so okay. I have just a kid review from Peter, but he has some great things to say about this episode.
Hello, my name's Peter.
And my name is Curtis.
We're here to talk about DuckTales. Woo! In the last podcast, we talked about the new DuckTales. This is the old.
And what's different about the old DuckTales?
It's like, so, different style.
What are some of the things that you notice that are different?
Launchpad is fatter in the old and skinnier in the new.
Oh yeah, what else do you notice?
In the new, the red one and the blue one don't have their hats on.
You're right, yeah, yeah. In the old one, they kind of look all the same, don't they?
Yeah, they have all their hats on.
What can you tell me about this episode? What were the things that you liked about it?
Well, that the Beagle Boys are trying to take the ship that Uncle Scrooge has in the museum.
Yeah.
And this man has a delivery for the Beagle Boys, and they're cupcake bombs, and they blow up.
No way.
One of the Beagle Boys ate them, and it was like, beep!
What was your favorite part of the episode?
Well, I liked it when all of the chocolate, all of the chocolate sauce gone pouring down on them. And then they turned into chocolate statues.
That's right.
If I was there, I would just eat chocolate all day.
Does look pretty yummy.
That's all for today. See you next afternoon.
Mike, do we have any fan mail for today?
We don't. And you know what? I think that this is the time where we say to everybody listening, please, yep. please write us an email. Message us on Twitter, on Facebook. So that's tuneafternoon@gmail.com, @tuneafternoon on Twitter, and facebook.com/tuneafternoon. And just hit us up. Let us know. You know, these episodes are so easy to find. You can watch them on iTunes. You can get the DVDs. Basically, any kind of video service should have DuckTales. At least the first couple seasons available. So
I do. Can I just make a quick note here that the DVDs don't put these episodes at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So they start when the actual series started running, because this was a special premiere.
Yeah.
So the DVDs start when the series ran, and then these episodes came in like the 30th to 35th episodes or something like that. So they're actually in volume 2, disc 1.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yep.
That's kind of crazy. Cool. Well, I mean, people should just, you know, search them out. It's yep. It's not that hard to find an easy way to watch these episodes, but and I would suggest sitting down with your kids and watching the older cartoons as well, the classic stuff as well. Because I do, I watch classic cartoons with Kara. We watch new stuff as well, and I'll say, you know, she's definitely more into the modern stuff. I think that the crispness of the animation is a little bit more striking to a 1-year-old.
Oh, yeah. It's all flashy and fast-paced.
Yeah. She loved the theme song of this almost as much as she loves the new one. The new one's just that little tiny bit punchier, though. And so Kara likes to dance. So she gets kind of funky with the new one. She really likes it. But we just watched it together and she enjoyed it. So, watch classic cartoons with your kids. So I watch Ghostbusters with Kara every Saturday morning. We watch a couple episodes of Ghostbusters on Netflix. So,
great.
It's a great way to share something from your childhood with your kids and enjoy some time together. So don't just, you know, adult listeners with kids, don't just, you know, go remember these episodes fondly. Like, actually share them with your kids. You might be surprised at how much they enjoy them.
So what would you give this? We forgot to do the rating in the last episode.
Oh, did we? Oh.
Yeah, but that's okay. It was kind of, the rating would, the premiere, we gave the whole premiere a rating in the first episode.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
What about this episode here? What would you give it a rating out of 5?
Out of 5. So I'm going to go with three dimes and a nickel. That's what I'll give it. It's pretty good, but I think that the action's going to kick up in the next few episodes, and I think that they'll probably be a little bit more fun.
Yeah, comparing this one to the new one is quite different because that one was quite a bit quicker paced. This one takes its time more to introduce us to the characters and such, but I think I'd still give it a 4. It's a good solid start and provides plenty of mystery and wants me to see what's coming next, which I know what's coming next as I've seen these episodes a million times.
Yeah.
But
cool. So what's our next episode? Obviously part 2 of this five-part premiere, but we've got the episode description. You want to read that out, Curtis?
Yeah, part two is called Wrong Way and Wrong Way, and the description is, having learned about the Ship of Gold, Scrooge and the triplets follow the map to South America in a race with El Capitan, and this time El Capitan is aided by Scrooge's archenemy, Flintheart Glomgold, and both parties are caught in the region's legendary Monsoppy's rainstorms.
Cool. So it's going to be great because we're going to get our introduction to Flintheart Glomgold in the classic series.
And not just Flintheart, but a few others that that we know and love will come up in this episode too.
Awesome. Awesome. So look forward to that one next week. But I guess that's it. That's it for this episode, right?
Yep.
Cool. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to DuckTales news, but it's really all of this sort of Disney afternoon, centric news, by heading to, cartoonafternoon.com. And from there you can find links to subscribe and follow us in all of the places. But if you want to follow us, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. You can follow me personally on Twitter. I'm at ArkWulf, ArkWulf.
And I am at Curtis Findlay, Curtis with a K. And we encourage you to spread the word, share with your friends, tell them to like the Facebook page. And bring in some kid reviews. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, especially, it would be great if everybody can head over to iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play or wherever you're listening to this, and just give us a really quick rating and a review. Be honest, you know. Let us know. It'll help other people find the podcast and get some reviews, and it bumps us up in the algorithms. So definitely do that, and like Curtis said, recommend it to your friends. Of course, we're also a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network, so if you want to check out some other great podcasts like the Rebels Podcast, you can do that by heading to thunderquack.com. You can see everything in the network. And if you want to support us, you can do that a couple of ways. You can do it first by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch, or you can do it by heading to patreon.com/thunderquack. And over there, you can pledge your support. It's a monthly pledge, as low as $1 a month, which gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Facebook group. And at higher tiers, there are some other perks as well. So like some early access and exclusive MP3 versions of our YouTube videos and all of that sort of thing. So patreon.com/thunderquack to check that out. And that's it. That does it for this week. So we will see you guys on the next episode.
See you next afternoon.